But now we can get back in Revelation chapter 12. Some very interesting things that we will look at going forward. We've already looked at the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will evangelize the world during the seven-year tribulation. They'll be doing it at the first three and a half years, because the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist wages war upon God's people, as he will start that 3.5 year second part by sitting on the throne in the temple, claiming to be God, demanding to be worshipped as God. And the Jews will flee. They'll flee Jerusalem. They'll flee into a place that God has already prepared for them, that everybody's very familiar with, and that is Petra, the city of Petra, which is in the Red Rocks there in Israel. And we'll look at that probably next week, maybe the following week. But today, we are only focused on two verses in Revelation chapter 12, but we will read the entire chapter. Because God is a God of order. He is even a God who will let his people know what is about to happen, though it may not be within the next 30 seconds or the next year or 5 years, but God always protects his people. And again, the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, is God focusing back on Israel. God has not forsaken Israel. Replacement theology is a lie from the devil. God has not replaced Israel with the church, but God has opened up grace. He's given grace to the Gentiles to be saved through the church age that we're currently in, that is very quickly coming to an end, because things are just transpiring and getting closer to the time that the church will be raptured out, the Antichrist will be revealed, and the 7 years will start. And looking forward to that, looking forward to being raptured out, being with the Lord, entering into those pearly gates, being where Christ is. Because remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again that we may be where he is. He wants to come get us, and he will. And really, we need to have that focus. And the book of Revelation helps us to have that focus. Even though we won't be here, those that are saved during the age of grace will not go through the tribulation. That's clearly seen in Scripture. But it is to help us to prepare for what is coming by telling others about Christ and telling others about the judgment of God that is coming. Because remember, before we even get into this, isn't that what God sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh for? Was to declare his wrath was going to come upon them because of their wickedness. And when Jonah reluctantly went to Nineveh, because he didn't want to go, because Nineveh was a wicked city, the people were wicked, but he finally went after spending 3 days and 3 nights in the well's belly and God giving him a second chance to follow God's will. And he goes and he preaches wrath. He doesn't preach repentance. He doesn't preach God's grace. He just preaches God's wrath to come. And it caused from the king down to the lowest person to repent. And not just repent, you know, with their words, but they repented in their hearts and in their minds. And they put on sackcloth. They sat in ash, showing God that they were serious about their repentance. And God gave them grace. And it's a picture of God's grace, but God's grace does run out, and the age of grace is coming to an end. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to verse 17. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she was brought forth, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Again, the woman is Israel, and who is the child? Jesus Christ, right? Israel brought forth the Savior, brought forth the Messiah. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Again, when you calculate that out, that is 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. Remember, when you go and read the book of Job, Satan came before God on a day that the sons of God, the angels, came before God to give an account of things that they were doing, right? And we see the account that God questions Lucifer, questions the devil. Have you considered my servant Job, right? And in Job, you see the devil accusing Job before God, right? And even trying to tempt God to do something to Job to test his faith. But obviously, you can't tempt God with evil, and God tempts no man with evil, okay? But again, the accuser of the brethren is the devil, right? He accuses us before the Lord, but I'm glad that God sees the blood of the Lamb that has been applied to us. The blood of Christ has been applied to us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice. And they came, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Again, he has a short time in that 3.5 years. Now, the Antichrist comes on the scene at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation and, you know, has a peace treaty with Israel and all the nations that hate Israel, and for 3.5 years, it just seems like, hey, this is of God, this is the Messiah, everything's peaceful, the temple is rebuilt, you've got the Dome of the Rock there, you've got the Temple of the Jews there, I mean, just everybody's happy for 3.5 years. And then the devil comes, Antichrist comes and sits down in the temple, in the Jewish temple, demanding that he is God and the Jews are to worship him. Now, just when you think about what it says about God's wrath is coming and the devil has wrath coming in that 3.5 years. The devil's wrath is coming from beneath because he's from the pits of hell, right? He is wreaking his wrath upon the earth during that time against God's people. And God's pouring out his judgment. God's pouring out his wrath upon the earth. And it's in nobody who has taken the mark of the beast will even repent because they've sold their soul to the devil, right? Because God really gives them a chance at the beginning as he starts pouring out his wrath, and a third of the trees are burnt up, a third of the grass is burnt up, and a third of life, you know, in the seas is destroyed. I mean, God doing exactly what he did in the land of Egypt, right? And the Egyptians just kept hardening their hearts, right? And God poured out that final judgment of destroying the firstborn, taking the firstborn's life in the land, except where there was the blood applied to the doorpost. You think about, like we've said before, that there's things in the Old Testament mirrors things in the New Testament. Because during the tribulation, again, the Holy Spirit's been removed at the rapture. It's no longer about the grace of God. It's no longer about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, That's for the church age. That's for the age of grace. It goes back to the Messiah, back to the kingdom of God. And that is what is preached by those 144,000 Jewish evangelists, is the coming Messiah, because Antichrist, people, he must be the Messiah. Because only Christ can bring true world peace, and there is an anti-peace. There's a false peace that the Antichrist brings, right? And these 144 Jewish men that God has already prepared for that time, and we kind of looked at the possibility of who those are, okay, that he's already sealed them with his signature, with his mark in their forehead, and they go out preaching the kingdom of God, preaching against the Antichrist, that he's not the real Christ, and preaching the coming Messiah, and Jews and Gentiles alike believe their message, and they give their life to the Lord, and God seals them just like he sealed the 144,000. So again, it's about a kingdom. This whole thing, when you read from Genesis to Revelation, you figure out, you know what? It's about a kingdom. Because what did Lucifer say in the book of Ezekiel? I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. My throne will ascend above God's throne. I mean, the devil sits down, the Antichrist sits down in the temple in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation and demands to be worshipped. I'm God. That's what Lucifer wants. He wants to be worshipped like God, because he can't dethrone God. He gets kicked out of heaven, right? He's no dummy. He knows he can't dethrone God, but if he can just get people to worship him and follow him, then he will be like God. And again, when you look and you see the devil, anybody who takes the mark of the beast, mark of the beast in the forehead or the right hand, okay, the devil seals those who give their life to him, and God seals those who give their life to him. So you have those that are marked with 666, those that are marked with 777, those that are God's people, those that are the devil's people. Again, it's about a kingdom, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to come back and destroy the devil and the enemies of God with the sword of his mouth, right? He is just going to devour them. When you look at this chapter, I didn't finish reading it, but that's okay, because we're only focused on verses 1 and 2 this morning, because there's so much in it. God, again, is a God of order. Don't be afraid of the book of Revelation, because there's some things that we don't understand. And what we've been doing is kind of comparing scripture with scripture. That's the best thing to do, compare scripture with scripture. And it might be this, and it might be that, Again, those demonic creatures that are let out of the pits of hell that look like locusts, but they have long hair like a woman, teeth like lion, they have a crown on their head. It's like, how can you envision that? And many people have tried drawing pictures based on, but again, you have no idea what those creatures are going to look like. But God says they will torment men at that time for 5 months like a scorpion does, and the sting of a scorpion, and those men will seek death. They will try to commit suicide, and they can't. God causes them not to be able to die. They are tormented for 5 months, but then after that, we see where men are killed, all right? I'm just saying that, reminding us that God's in control. Even now, he's in control, all right? Sometimes it looks like the devil has the upper hand. The devil never has the upper hand, all right? He shouldn't even have the upper hand in our own lives, because God says resist the devil. God doesn't even call us to fight with the devil, but to resist him. Resist the devil, draw nigh unto the Lord, he'll draw nigh unto you, and God says the devil will flee, right? All right, so verses 1 and 2. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. So this great wonder in heaven that John sees, remember, John the Beloved, also known as John the Revelator, the one that Jesus shows all of this to. He's writing all of this. He's seeing all of this. He's an eyewitness of what God is showing. But he sees a wonder or a sign in heaven or in outer space, in the universe. Look at, keep a finger here, but go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And let's notice what the Bible says in verses 1 through 3. Now, obviously, David, writing this psalm, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Heavens, he's speaking of space. He's speaking of where the moon, the sun, the stars, the other planets, the Milky Way, all the constellations. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." All right. You have different languages around the world, but every continent on this planet can see the constellations, can see the stars, the moon, the sun, can see the things that God has created, and it declares the glory of God. It declares that there is a divine designer, all right? None of this happened by accident. We're not here by accident. There was no big bang, no explosion, anything. God spoke the worlds into existence. He flung the stars into outer space. He created the great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night, the sun and the moon. But just starting off with Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now, we can't see it with the naked eye, but have you seen the images of exploding stars and how beautiful that is? Now, you want to talk about something being exploding and creating something. Well, God's stars are exploding and creating beauty, right? They're not creating other planets. They're not creating other stars, but they're creating beauty, because if you've seen those pictures, I mean, it's magnificent. God is truly a God of wonder, a God who is not only a God of order, but a God who loves beautiful things and wants us to enjoy those things. "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now, again, in Revelation 12, when you look at these two verses, it gives us a description of a woman. Right off the bat, this is about Israel. All right, it's about Israel bringing forth the Christ, the man-child, Jesus Christ, the Savior, all right? Emmanuel, God with us. Here in verse 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." So John is seeing something among the stars in the heavens. He's seeing something that looks like a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. She has a crown of 12 stars upon her head, and she is great with child. She's pregnant. And it says in verse 12, travailing in birth. She gives birth. I mean, that's just what it says. Now, John is not seeing a physical woman. He is seeing something among the stars, something among God's creation. All right? Look at Genesis 37 there in your notes. Okay, John is seeing this. And it says again, "There appeared a great wonder," or a great sign, in heaven. In Genesis 37, you look at verses 5 through 11, "Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" You know the account of Joseph and what happened in Joseph's life, right? Being sold into slavery by his brothers, he ends up becoming second in command to Pharaoh. God using him. It was God's plan. God orchestrated, ordained it, brought it to pass that Joseph would be the one to save Israel, to save Jacob and the family. All right? And it's a picture of Jesus Christ coming to save his people. Verse 9, he dreamed, this is Joseph, he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, God showed Joseph two different dreams. The one dream was his brothers would bow down to him at some point. He would be a ruler over them. God gives him a second dream involving a moon, the moon, the sun, 11 stars, and those making obeisance, bowing down to Joseph, right? Nobody understood this sign that God was giving, but let's answer the question, did it come to pass? Yeah, because his brothers came and bowed down to him seeking food, not knowing who he was at the time. They thought he was dead, thought he was gone, and they just came into the land during the 7 years of drought. In fact, when you think about it, remember, God gave Joseph a vision in prison that there was going to be 7 years, or he didn't give it to him, he gave it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh needed someone to interpret it, right? That there was going to be 7 years of good, 7 years of plenty, and then right after that, 7 years of a drought. And again, Joseph goes, interprets the dream to Pharaoh. Pharaoh puts him in charge. During 7 years of just plenty of water, plenty of crops, they gathered all the abundance to be prepared for the 7 years of drought. The 7 years. And motions and properties affect people and events on the earth and even use it to try to tell the future and tell things that are going on. Now, you can, again, as we're looking at this, you can, because God has given it, if you know the Bible and you know these things, sure, you can look and see how something that we're going to look at in just a second, the Jews, if they were looking for it, they would understand, well, time is getting shorter. Time is getting closer to the Messiah coming because they don't believe Christ. Jesus was the Messiah. They're still looking for him, right? That's why the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. But then the Lord himself will put his feet down, right? Down on that mountain and split it in two as he comes to save his people. All right, but again, astronomy, astrology, all right? Now look at Genesis chapter 1 in your notes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The evening and the morning were the third day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. All right. And if you were to keep reading on Genesis, he made the stars also. Isn't that what the Bible says? Just kind of, oh, here's an extra thought. He made the stars also. Just kind of flung them out there. But again, God, it specifically says God made these for signs or for wonders, all right? Job 38, verse 31, 32. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Now, Maseroth and Arcturus, those are constellations. Those are constellations, but even in your Bible, Job being the oldest book, even though it's not at the beginning of your Bible, it is the oldest book. Job lived before Noah and the others, speaks of the constellation, speaks of the stars. And God asked Job the question, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Okay, God's creation, what God has created. Job 9, verse 8 and 10. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Again, just God created it, but he's specifically naming these constellations, these stars. Look at Isaiah 40. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God has a name for every star. All right. Okay, big deal, Pastor. Now, when you turn the page, and then you go back to Revelation 12 and think about what John is seeing and writing down. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Not in the temple of God, but in the heaven, in outer space, where all the constellation, the stars are. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, when you look on the screen and even on the page that you have, because I printed it off for you, you see the two constellations. You see Leo and you see Virgo. Leo is for a lion. Virgo is for a virgin woman. And when you look at these, okay, it's constellation, Virgo and Leo, but something happened on September 23rd, 2017 that was prophesied 500 years prior by a German Jewish rabbi. What happened on September 23rd, 2017 is that these constellations, these stars, all came into alignment with the sun, the moon, and three other planets, Mercury, Mars, Venus. And on September 23rd, 2017, this is what was observed, all right, was you have the constellation Virgo. You have the constellation Leo, and when you count, just count the stars for Leo, there's only 9 in that constellation. There's only 9 in that picture, whatever you want to call it, the stars there. There's only 9 stars that make up Leo. But on that specific day, Mercury, Mars, and Venus all lined up, which would make 12 stars above this woman. Virgo being the woman, you have the sun that is there, the moon at her feet, that is what is said in Revelation 12, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cry, travailing in birth and pain, to be delivered. Now, with this that has happened on this specific date, September 23rd, 2017, what took place here, as the astronomers would research, take their software and go all the way back, you know, as they've studied the constellations and how they, you know, how things go and the rotation of the Earth, all that stuff. This has never happened in 7,000 years. In 7,000 years, this happened on this specific day. to line up with what God revealed to John, as we read in Revelation 12. And then verse 2 talks about she being with child, cry, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Well, what would that be? Well, when you look, again, if you turn the page, I didn't put it in there, did I? All right, look on the screen. I don't know if you can really see it. It's not. Because on here, they actually drew out the lion and the woman. Anyway, when you look at the midsection of Virgo, that is to be the womb of the woman. And what happened is the planet Jupiter entered into that. I'll call it a sex. I'm not as strong. I don't know all the terminology, but Jupiter entered into the midsection, which would be the womb, for 8 months. Jupiter just kind of was there. And they videotaped it, all this stuff that they do to track it. But then on the 9th month, which would have been September, all right, September 2017, on the 23rd day, it entered to the lower section where you see Jupiter right now, the name Jupiter, which would have been, sorry for the details, but the woman giving birth, right? In the womb for 8 months, 9 months, but then on the 9th month, Jupiter is out of that section in the lower section. What does it say in Revelation 12? She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. All right? So, I mean, you have something happening in the constellations that matches up to what God has said in His Word. All right? We're not to be astrologers trying to figure all this out, but God does use His creation to let His people know what is going to happen. All right? The wonderful thing is, if you're looking at your pictures, Jupiter, just another fact, Jupiter is a striped planet. Okay? Does that ring any bells to you? If Jupiter is a striped planet, Jupiter is in the midsection of Virgo for the time it was, 8 months, and I apologize, you can't really see on your notes, but let's see if I can read it here. Starting November 2016 is when Jupiter enters the midsection of Virgo and remains there, December the 16th, January 2017, February 2017, March 2017, April, May, June, July, August. Those 8 months in the midsection, the 9th month, it moves to the lower section depicting giving birth, okay? But Jupiter being a striped planet. Jupiter being a striped planet. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Again, being a picture. Revelation 12. This is a picture of Israel. Israel brings forth the Messiah. Jesus Christ comes from Israel, comes from a Jewish line. He's a Jewish Savior. He's not black. He's not Asian. There are people that have pictures of black Jesus, black, Asian Jesus. It's like European. All the pictures that you see of Jesus in Bibles, look at the characteristics. It's European. He's a Jew, right? So again, when you read scripture and you think about this and you think, I don't know, if God created it, and is God telling His people something? Now, if you look at the picture, something began the day before. September the 22nd, 2017, was the Feast of Trumpets for Israel. It was their time of the Feast of Trumpets. And then the next day, this spectacular event in the heavens is displayed. Now, when you think about what's being said in Revelation, God sent Jesus Christ to deliver his people. He came to his own rejected him. All right? The Jews as a nation did not receive him as the Messiah. He had some people that did, right? He asked Peter, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets. And Jesus says, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter boldly, "You are Christ. You're the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, but my Father," right? So Jesus came not only to save the Jews, but to save the Gentiles, right? The age of grace, we're able to be saved through his grace, through his shed blood, believing on his death, burial, and resurrection. But this happening on this specific date signifies that God is about to do something with Israel. Now, as I kind of read some other articles and stuff, you know, some were believing and even teaching that on this date, September 23rd, 2017, the rapture was going to take place. Well, it didn't. All right? A lot of people were disappointed, right? Because again, these signs are not for Gentiles, they're for the Jews. They are for them to get ready for what God is going to do with them. All right? Just something interesting. Guess what happened 2 months later in the same year? Who was the president in 2017? Who? Trump. Guess what he did in November 2017, 2 months after this event? Now, whether he knew about it or not, I don't know, but guess what happened? He moved the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Moved it. He declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. You're right, Israel loves Trump because he's pro-Israel. They love him so much. You know what they did? They coined a coin after him. They minted a coin after him. Is that how you say it? But it's not just a picture of him. It's a picture of him, and behind him is a picture of King Cyrus. Remember who King Cyrus was? King Cyrus is the one that God used to rebuild Jerusalem, to be rebuilt. He was gave Daniel all of those. Daniel never went back, but King Cyrus is the one that God used to bring Israel back, to rebuild their kingdom. I mean, if you go to Daniel later and look that up, I didn't write that down, the reference, but in Daniel, just look up King Cyrus, okay? And this is what Israel did because Trump has a heart for Israel, all right? And he did some good things during his presidency for Israel, and they commemorated him for that in doing this. Again, things that God does, all right, looking into the heavens. Now, on the back page of your notes, this is, again, this is the German Jewish rabbi, Judah ben Samuel. He lived from 1140 to 1217. He prophesied that in 10 jubilees, what's a jubilee? Jubilee is 50 years. Every 50 years, there's a jubilee that Israel celebrates. All right? Now, he prophesied that in 10 jubilees that the Messiah would come. Because of his prophecy, though, some believe that the church would be raptured out at that time. Now, when you look at the chart, in 1217 is when he prophesied this. All right? When This rabbi, Judah ben Samuel, prophesied that in 10 Jubilees, the Messiah would come. And when you look at the chart, this is kind of a shortened chart, but so on some other ones I saw, but the first prophecy didn't come to pass until 1517 when the Turks take control of Jerusalem. All right, and for 400 years, Jerusalem is ruled by the Ottoman Turks. All right, and looking at 400 years, that would be 8 Jubilees. All right, 8 Jubilees there. In 1917, the Turks lose control of Jerusalem. And for 50 years, from 1917 to 1967, would be 1 Jubilee, 50 years. It was no man's land, nobody was there, but eventually Israel has Jerusalem. Israel is able to get Jerusalem back. And they believe that that is the beginning of the Messianic end time, all right? Because in 2017, like I said, is when Trump declared Jerusalem to be the capital to the Jews. All right, but again, there were some that were teaching that, 2017, that's when the church would be raptured out. Many people were waiting for it. It came and went. All because they were looking at this rabbi's prophecy, looking at the consolations. But again, the signs are not for us. The Jews require a sign. Gentiles want wisdom. All right, but God's people, we have a sure word. God's word tells us what's going to happen to us, tells us the focus goes back onto Israel in the last days, in those last 7 years that God will pour out his wrath upon this world, all right? Again, just when you look at that, this is what John sees. He sees this event in heaven. And could it be that God in 2017 showed his people that event, these consolations coming together like that, and just all of that to signify to the Jews they need to get ready. They need to get ready. Again, when you think about Joseph being brought to be second in command in Egypt, again, they had 7 years of plenty and 7 years of bad. In 2017, I was looking some stuff up yesterday, and in 2017, America was doing great. I mean, they were just showing this chart just how economy was climbing and climbing. In 2017, our country had the greatest economy that had ever been. It had never been that good under any other presidency. Not saying it's because of Trump, but when you think about what happened in 2017, 7 years of good, just comparing scripture with scripture, since we have turned the presidency, economy's been declining, right? So you think, you know, seven years, well, 2017 to 2024, that would be 7 years, all right? That's right around the corner. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's not what we want, right? You know, I mean, the housing market's doing great. I mean, houses are going on the market in my neighborhood, and they're getting sold the next day. And the price is going up on houses. I mean, the value of my house has gone up. And I'm saying, look, just don't let the taxes go up. Because when your value goes up, the taxes go up. And when the value dips, the taxes stay the same. They don't dip, right? Anyway, you think just thinking about scripture, thinking about the days of Joshua, 7 years of good, but then 7 years of bad. So what could be worse than the 7 years of the tribulation? Now, I'm not saying the rapture is going to happen in 2024 or 2025, but when you just think about Scripture, 7 years of good, we're on the decline, and it's just going to get worse as we get closer to the revealing of the Antichrist. We get closer to World War III, because that's in the makings right now. I mean, you got Russia and Ukraine just going at it. I mean, it's, and America is sending equipment over there to Ukraine, which is making Russia very upset. Russia already has an allegiance with China, so you've got Gog and Magog. So, I mean, it's just things are escalating and advancing towards what Scripture tells us is coming. So could it be the rapture is close? Could it be all these events are just within a matter of years? If so, what do we as God's people need to do? Prepare. Prepare to meet our Savior as a bride prepares to meet the groom, right? The groom is ready. Because I remember being a groom. I was ready. I'm in the back sweating, you know, with the pastor. And we come out, and then I got to wait more because they're singing and stuff and waiting for the back door to open. And, right, I'm ready. The groom's ready. And usually the bride's back there, you know, looking in the mirror again, you know, my hair and, you know, fixing up, preparing, and then coming in. Again, it's a picture of us meeting Christ. We're the bride. He's the groom. Now, again, it's not for us to study the stars and all and try to figure out, but God uses them. Uses them as signs for the Jews. You know, maybe next week we'll kind of look at more of that, you know, the blood moons and the different feasts, just so we understand. That's what the Jews use to know when they're supposed to do different feasts, all right? And just all kinds of things. And there's other things to talk about, but we'll stop there. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the truth of your word, how it truly is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that we have been spared your wrath. We don't have to experience the wrath that you're going to pour out in the last days. But Lord, help us, though, not to be spiritually asleep. Help us, Lord, to be as Jesus said, watching and praying. Be observant of the things that are going on in the world, knowing that Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah. There would be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, just even your creation will speak of it getting closer and closer to the moment that things are really going to heat up on this planet. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth as this one is burned up. Father, we just ask that you would help us to continue to grow in our faith, to continue to walk with Christ, to continue to allow you to give us victory in our life as we walk through this sin-cursed world. But Lord, help us to be used to reach others for Christ, to show people that there is truly something beyond this life, something spectacular, something that's worth even dying for, as we read in Scripture and through the history of the church. People dying for their faith, not giving up on their Lord and Savior who never gives up on us. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about 5 minutes.